Welcome to a Frugal Athlete podcast, where we interview athletes, both current and former, on the prudent financial practices and smart career decisions they are making. In these episodes, we dive into what it means to be a frugal athlete. You might think that frugal just means being cheap, but as you will soon learn, being frugal is more complex than that. Hey, what's up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to another episode of a Frugal Athlete podcast. Today, we got a very special guest, Rachel Mang Brown. Rachel is the founder of Gen Agency, all things NIL, all things personal brand, all things marketing. She does a lot of great work for young student athletes, athletes, influencers. So we figured we'd get her on the show. She's a very busy lady doing a lot of good work, and we're happy to have her on this platform. So Rachel, thank you for joining us. How are you doing today?
Yeah, thank you so much. I'm good. You know, just came off of a week with four events, networking, influencer events. Before that, we were traveling on an HBCU tour. So always busy, like you said.
Yeah, so let's get right into it, because obviously at the time of this recording, we're at the tail end of March Madness. Final Fours here. You mentioned some of your work with HBCU. Let's get into Rachel. What exactly do you do? How do you help student athletes?
So our agency is called Gen Agency, G-E-N. We're an influencer marketing agency. We do everything from one-to-one brand management of influencers. So helping them find and negotiate brand deals like Kellogg's, like Meta, even things like Nike. We also produce viral events. So anything from like a small Botox party all the way up to like a huge 8-day hype house. And then we also have our NIL education and consulting. This is where we actually create workshops for student athletes, for collectives, for universities, to teach their athletes what is this NIL space, because NIL really is just influencer marketing for athletes. Athletes were the original influencers. So it's up to us to really help educate all these student athletes, whether they're high school, whether they're collegiate, and even some professional athletes, how to make good content, like content brands actually can use to market with. Also how to go viral, how to leverage the social media platforms, even some things like how to work with managers and things like that.
I have so many questions, but real quick, because selfishly, I'm trying to grow a frugal athlete. Mm-hmm. I am kind of a content creator. How does one go viral?
Honestly, virality isn't, it's not necessarily random. You know, all these content creators that have large followings, that all their videos do really well, viewership, engagement, comments, everything. There's a science behind it. You know, they're creating content that people want. They're leveraging the followers that they have, the demographics. So like the age, the gender, the location, the things that they're interested in. They're using things like, captions with specific words that people are interested in searching up. They're using hashtags. They're using trending sounds, trending topics. So it's really a combination of all of those and then getting it in front of the right audience of a large amount of people who want to actually talk about that or see it. That's really what makes things go viral.
So it's more than just being funny or being popular. It's like there's stats and analytics and, you know, real work behind it.
Yeah, there's definitely a science behind it. And the cool thing is that influencers have really figured out and they know how to make these videos go viral. They know how to grab these large audiences and get a, you know, really dedicated following to get people to click on things, to entertain people, to educate people, whatever it is. And they know how to do it. So that's really what we're trying to do, is take all that information that we've learned from our influencers and package it up into small, understandable workshops for all these athletes and universities.
I love what you said about athletes were the original influencers. And if you look at the timeline of like where influencer marketing influencers went, you know, started with athletes, now it went into creators. And then now with NIL, like you said, it's kind of leaning back towards athletes being influencers. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about how athletes need to embrace the fact that they are influencers? And outside of, you know, the potential brand deals and endorsements, there's different ways to monetize and, you know, build a brand, leverage their platform as not just athletes, but influencers.
Yeah. I mean, look at the movie Air that's coming out. It's a story of like the sneaker. It's just a story of all these athletes. You know, I think people forget that athletes were the original influencers, not because we had social media, because we had commercials, but because people watch athletes, they watch celebrities, yeah. They follow them because they want to see what they're doing. They, you know, athletes have reached this peak level of athleticism, or they're on these teams, you know, they've garnished all these views and fans, and we need to really look to them and then look at the college athletes, the high school athletes, these elite level athletes, or people that are athletes that have these abilities. Like, they're looked at in the community as almost local superheroes. And that's really how athletes need to kind of start treating themselves, is that they had this platform because they're a student athlete, but also because they're like a hero on their campus and their local community too. And there's a lot that they can do that with that, whether it's grow their social media, to have these large followings, both locally and nationally, or even internationally, that they can leverage for brand deals. They can leverage for appearances. They can even do good work like community service, donating to charities and things like that. So I think as soon as athletes start thinking about themselves as a business and also as that like superhero, whether it's local or national, I think that really changes the conversation and changes the way that athletes think.
No, I think that's really important that you talked about it from like a business perspective. Athletes are not only influencers, they're businesses. And you talked about the different silos that they can jump in, whether it's community mm-hmm. events, merch, products, brand endorsements. And with your help, athletes are able to do just that. Not everyone's going to be an athlete. Mm-hmm. But people can be involved in sports and marketing and influencer marketing. How did you get your start, and what advice would you have for anyone looking to, you know, follow in your footsteps?
Yeah. So I was a student athlete in high school. I did so many sports. I did figure skating, field hockey, track, like lacrosse, all the way to rowing. And rowing is ultimately what I went to college for. I went to Rutgers University. I was a Big mm-hmm. 10 coxswain on the rowing team. So I was always, you know, athletic. I was always involved in athletics. I was always interested in sports. During college, all my internships and jobs were really with sports companies, both collegiate and professional. And then after I graduated, after I spent some time with Rutgers football on the recruiting side, TikTok actually hired me to be an official TikTok partner. I was part of the cohort that actually migrated TikTok from like its original dancing and fun loving side yeah. into the education, DIY, and kind of what you see it as now. We created content and help migrate the platform over to it. So I really got my experience in content creation there. I even got this nice camera now that I use for only Zoom calls. And then after I completed that program with them, I actually grabbed a bunch of creators along with my former co-founders. We started the agency. We were actually originally in finance and marketing creators only. And then a few months later, we actually separated. We then rebranded to Gen Agency. And now I recently absorbed all the shares from my last co-founder. So I'm the sole owner of Gen Agency.
And congratulations. So what are some biggest lessons? There's a lot to unpack. Former student athlete yourself, founder with a co-founder, now solo founder. What are some of the lessons that you've learned from sport that you apply to your business every day now?
I think the one that they always say, like athletes have, because our practices and everything, is time management, which is yeah. huge for me. You know, beyond just managing the agency, I also consult on marketing strategy, social media, all the above. I also work with creators through free office hours. I have them for athletes and students as well. So there's always a lot of stuff going on. But what's been great as a student athlete was, you know, I was a student athlete full time. I was also a student. I was in like six clubs and organizations. And I really learned, how to manage my time, use time blocking, figure out, you know, I'm at practice here. I've got a good class here. I've got homework here, but my other interests were definitely in helping people. So I was in our student government. I was in Unified Sports. I was in a lot of different programs and clubs. So my time management, even now, same exact thing, time blocking, figuring out how I'm going to one meeting to an event yeah. to working. That's been like the biggest thing I think that I've taken with me from college was managing my own schedule.
No, you're exactly right. I recently did a workshop for a D3 university, and a lot of the pain points that they had was time management, but yeah. they already indirectly time manage. The fact that mm-hmm. you go to school, you play sports, you have a social life, if you're in clubs like you were when you went to college, this is something that's innate with athletes, and it can help in whatever you do. It doesn't have to be your own business. It could be in a corporate space or content space, whatever it may have you. I think yeah. a lot of the intricate details that you mentioned will definitely show through.
College athletes too are also so concerned about like the time it takes to make content, to think of ideas, to talk to all these brands. And I think that time management, yes, is definitely a huge part of it. But I also think it's that the space is so new. Athletes don't know that they can schedule out their content using apps, that they can make a bunch of content and edit it and like keep it in their phone before they post it for a while and potentially have like a month's worth of content. I think that, you know, that's those are things that the influencers and the creator economy knows because we're so tenured in the space. But now that student athletes are coming in, they worry about time management. They worry about not having enough time from practice to homework to clubs to already being tired. But I think that that's what we're trying to push too, is that there is time if you're taught how to do it right, how to find the time and how to manage your own schedule.
Content creator, athlete influencer, give us like the five apps that you need.
Okay. Definitely you have your social media platforms, whatever you post on TikTok, Instagram. Short form is really popular right now, but a lot of the apps are switching to long form. So TikTok has like the 3 minutes that you can now create content because long form content is king. It lives longest, it has good SEO, and also you can monetize it the most. Beyond that, I would say Later is great. Later lets you schedule and post Instagrams, TikToks, other platforms. Any app that you use to cut videos, to also film content, things like InstaShot, CapCut, which is actually made from the company ByteDance. Because it's the same as TikTok, it is a lot easier to find the same sounds, to make the same cuts, to use templates that they already have. Those, I think, would be my top apps right now.
Perfect. Yeah, we're definitely gonna have that in the show notes. So take us back to, you know, Rutgers rowing, Rachel Mang Brown, NIL deal. What would be the ideal NIL partnership that you would do?
I think if I had known about the app when I was in college, it would have been Notion. Notion is a project, or like Asana. Yeah, they're project management softwares. I have OCD, and I also am just a very organized, also busy person. And I was like that in college too. Everything like I had scheduled out. So I think I would have loved a project management software, talking about how I went from practice at our boathouse and literally had to like drive all the way back to campus, drop off our freshmen, go to a class, make it to the dining hall, then go to like a club meeting. I think that would have been the app for me.
I love that you had that like on the spot. With a lot of athletes, how did they identify like which brands to work with? How do you help them kind of identify their own identity, their own brand pillar, their brand that they want to share with their audience, and then finding other existing brands to match mm-hmm. with the identity that they want to put out?
Yeah. And in that case, it's twofold. The first part is talking to the athlete, figuring out, you know, who are they beyond the field? Because obviously with NIL, you can't really showcase your university. You can't show any logos, anything like that. So it's really about like who you are. So do you like project management? Are you like a very scheduled person? Are you funny? Do you, you know, love coffee because you have all this practice? Like finding out what interests them and what they can talk about naturally, organically, what fits in there to their life. Because that way they can make the easiest content. Like I drink a lot of coffee, and I did when I was in college. So I think, you know, whether it was Starbucks or a smaller coffee brand, that definitely would have been very, very on brand for me. You know, all the other student athletes knew I loved coffee, knew I was at like 20 clubs, meetings, practices. So they knew I was always drinking it. Yeah. And then the flip side of it is really what the brand's looking at. Like brands, the reason why they use influencers, they use social media platforms to market is because they're trying to reach a specific audience. And these influencers, these athletes have an audience that they want. So if you're a student athlete, you probably have an audience of not only your peers, both at college, both from your high school. So that means like hyperlocal at your college, also where you're from in your high school, geo-fenced wise. And then also you probably have some younger fans or even some adults, if you go to a particularly large university, who are interested in like whatever you're posting on social media. So whatever the brand is, they're trying to get to those people, and they're going through you because you're a person of reason, you're a person of influence, a local superhero that they feel can push their message towards your followers and your audience from a place that you believe in the brand, you want to work with the brand so people trust you. And that's the reason why brands want to work with you. So it's really twofold. It's kind of matching those two criteria and finding the brand that makes the most sense.
You know, with all the pros to influencer marketing as an athlete, whether you're a student athlete, professional athlete, we rarely talk about things that we need to look out for. In your line of the work, you help educate, you help consult for athletes to protect themselves, athletes, influencers. What are some things that kind of get overlooked, things that you are, you know, worried about as this lane continues to grow that athletes should protect themselves about?
Yeah, this is a great question. I think especially in NIL, even in influencer side, you know, athletes, influencers, always the creator, like they're really the commodity. They're the person that, you know, they're not necessarily getting the best benefit. I think NIL was created for the right reasons to allow athletes to monetize, to help them make money, to use their influence. But I think in this space in particular, there are still companies that are using student athletes now. Yes, of course, that they can do brand partnerships, they can get paid, you know, they can have their own extra source of income, but companies are identifying that and they are, you know, leveraging them for revenue. And I think that that's something that athletes really need to look out for. And it comes into two parts and it affects influencers too. One part being know your worth, you know, understand why brands are paying you a certain dollar amount and then know what your dollar amount per your piece of content or per your appearance or per your endorsement should be and really stick to it. I think that brands are always up for negotiation, especially if you know what your value is and why. And the second part I think is more of a like legal advice. I'm not a lawyer, but we see a lot of times in contracts that brands want usage rights in perpetuity. They want to own the content or, you know, they force the creator to or athlete to sign a contract because the creator really, really wants to work with that brand, but they're not willing to negotiate or compromise on the stipulations in the contract. Those are really, really important. So having, you know, a family lawyer or even your compliance look it over is really important because, you know, we were actually at a school where a student athlete worked with a popular steak brand and she promoted the content and she was actually dramatically underpaid for the content. She also gave away all of her usage rights, the ownership of the content. So now the brand owns it and they can post it wherever they want. They could chop it up for ads and do whatever they wanted with it, but she's not getting any revenue from whatever revenue those ads generate beyond what that initial piece of content was. So there's a lot of things that are complicated in the industry that I think people need to, especially athletes, like just need to start learning about and need to start asking questions and protecting themselves.
No, I love that you know, you broke that down in a transparent way because it's really important. When it comes to value though, like how do we understand our value as athlete influencers? We see followers doesn't mean everything, but sometimes these brands and these companies will come up with terms that we may not know about, like CPM and engagement rate. And so can we get like a quick branding, know your value 101 class from Rachel Mang Brown, Gen Agency?
Yeah, yeah. So first off, I actually just started a new series where I post on my social media all these answers, just snippets from all of our workshops, so student athletes can get them for free. Additionally, we also have office hours Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. They're free for any student athletes, influencers, even staff, just so that you can be educated. Yeah, just so you can be educated in the space. But when it comes to setting your own rates, and this is something influencers are still learning too, it's the reason, again, why brands want to work with you is because they want your audience. So remember that you and your influence that you have on your community have value. So you're being paid for that. Additionally, brands pay for either a cost per a person viewing your content, a cost per a person downloading the content, purchasing the content, even clicking on a link and just reading something. So all of those have assigned cost to them, whether it's $10 per view, $10 per download, all of those things. So that's kind of the base rate. And then you look at your follower count or you look at your local community and find out how large it is. You find out how many people actually look at your stories, actually look at your videos, even actually come to your events. And you really just multiply it by that amount. And that's really how you find your rate. And there are calculators all over the internet or one of our partners, Beacons. They actually have a rate calculator on their website. They have a link in bio. They have a media kit. All of the above are free. And you can use those to calculate your rates. So you have a little bit more leverage when you go into these brand negotiations.
No, thank you. I think it's all about knowing your numbers, you know, just like in sports, you know, you stats are a big part of your performance. Exactly. So it leads to the same thing when it comes to working with brands. And obviously you are what you negotiate at the same time. So if you have a good marketer like Rachel who can help you, make sure you check her office hours. We're going to have those in the show notes for sure. Shifting gears a little bit, you mentioned some of your work with HBCU. Can we talk about that? I know we can't get too specific into some of the specific things that you do, but I think it's really great, some of the efforts that you're making behind the scenes to enhance and educate the HBCU programs.
Yeah. I mean, you know, student athletes in general, when you look at universities like Duke, when you look at other schools, they already have a GM for NIL, or they have a staff person dedicated solely to NIL to help the athletes. But a lot of these HBCUs, it's not, I mean, it's common knowledge that they're underrepresented, they're underfunded, and dedicating a whole staff member to only NIL, or even, you know, introducing new curriculum for just student athletes is expensive. And a lot of schools just can't do that. So one of our large goals with our NIL program is reaching to as many HBCUs as we can and offering them these workshops, offering them assistance, almost like their own personal NIL GM. And we work with students again through these workshops, but also they follow up in our office hours to talk more about what they think their rates should be, some problems that they've encountered. And we've seen a lot of success. We actually got to go on tour to a number of HBCUs and still work with their athletes to this day, and talk about like what their rates are. We've set some rates. We've talked to them through like contracts, through reaching out to brands even. And I think it's something that, you know, a lot of people are overlooking, especially because you've got these big schools who have these huge media markets, but a lot of these HBCU students and athletes are still local superheroes. They still have a lot of influence, and we still get a lot of professional athletes from these HBCUs. So I think they're definitely someone that we need to take an extra step in educating and providing resources to, but they're also not a group of athletes to be overlooked.
And you talk about, you know, not every athlete is going to be a professional, whether it's HBCU or non-Power Five schools. There's a lot of athletes, student athletes that are.
Yeah, very small percent make it pro. So, I mean, I'm one of the ones that didn't.
But what I love to say is that you may not go pro in sports, but you're going to go pro in life. So how can NIL help the athlete that's like, I don't need this. I'm not going pro anyway. What would you say to them?
Yeah, I mean, NIL in general, if you're participating in creating content, being an influencer as an athlete, you're gaining these skills that a lot of people don't necessarily have now, but it's a skill that's heavily looked for. Like if you go on LinkedIn and look up social media management, content creation, it's probably one of the top job searches and most sought out for positions on LinkedIn, like that brands want to hire people for. So if you're participating in it as a student athlete, think about doing it from your freshman year. You're getting all those years of experience that other people don't have, because we didn't have NIL when I was a student athlete. You know, a lot of us didn't, and we're learning it later in life. But also, when you're presenting on social media, you're building a personal brand. Obviously, that brand is public. So when you think about any jobs you might go into, or, you know, any career you might have, you're almost building a portfolio of not only who you are, but what you can do, what your interests are, your skills. So I think that's something I took with me when I was in college as well, is I use my social media for personal reasons, but also I always talked about, you know, what my sport was doing. I talked about career aspirations. I talked about friends, things I cared about, events I went to. And, you know, I was lucky enough to get a job before I even graduated college, and then lucky enough to, you know, be 27 and be doing what I'm doing now at a young age because of, you know, social media, because of the way that we presented ourselves, I presented myself. So I think it's incredibly important now that there's more freedom.
I love it. So what's next for Gen Agency, and where do you see the future of this space going with influencer marketing? Obviously, athletes imprint on influencer space. If you had the crystal ball, what do you think is happening?
Yeah, our goal is to continue again to disrupt and democratize the creator economy. We provide quick on-time payments for our influencers right after they post, right after they finish a brand deal. That's actually a really bad ongoing issue in the creator economy. And now it's getting into the athlete economy as well, being paid very, very late.
Oh my
and
goodness.
Signing
net 30,
very,
net 60, net 90.
Yeah, exactly. And signing these like very, very strict contracts. Our goal is to always help as many influencers and athletes that we can with those types of issues. Additionally, for the NIL side, our goal is to just reach out to as many schools as possible. We do want to actually partner with universities and get our curriculum, our workshops, even our like one-on-one office hours into their curriculum so that we can help as many student athletes as possible. We don't do brand deals for athletes. We only provide the education. So it's nice we're within NCAA compliance as well. So our goal is, again, to just reach as many universities, reach as many HBCUs and athletes as possible.
Where can people find you?
You can find me at Rachel Mang. It's just my first and middle name across all social media platforms. Again, on my Instagram and TikTok, I am actually providing free career and influencer NIL advice taken right from our workshops, just chopped up so you can watch.
Before I let you go, I want to respect your time. All right, we've got a couple questions. It's not rapid fire, but it's a little bit quicker pace. So what's one thing that every student athlete should do right now, in your opinion?
I think they should change their bio. Number one, they should get a link in bio. Our first recommendation is Beacons. It's free. They also have a media kit where you can put brands you want to work with, brands you have worked with, and also your rate. And they should also change their bio to say like, what school they go to, what they do, like who they are, little snippets of information that really tell a brand a couple of things about you.
Yeah, real quick, just to follow up on that, because I am a big fan of Beacons. I have their platform, but I've also been told to have like a personal website and just have like the links on that page. So what would you say to that?
Yeah. So Beacons can actually, if you get your own domain, like mine could be like rachelmangbrown.com, yeah, you can actually tie the two together. So that kind of makes it easier for you as far as coding goes and making a whole website. But additionally, yeah, you should definitely have your own website as well. If that's something that you want to either pay for getting done or to do yourself, that just explains in more detail, like who you are, where you're from, what you're interested in, brands you maybe want to work with, or what your future aspirations are. The more information you can give people that want to work with you and understand who you are, the better chance that you have of actually landing all these brand partnerships.
Perfect. Is there a recommended book or resources outside of Office Hours that will be in the show notes that student athletes or influencers should look to?
I don't know that there's necessarily a book. I know that there are a lot of people, you know, going out and writing books or having blogs. I would say Google first and foremost, like the words I mentioned, like perpetuity, usage rights, all those things, like you can Google them. There is so much information on the internet that can help you in the process. If you don't go and get yourself a manager, if you can't ask your coach or your parents, you don't have a family lawyer, you can just Google all these things. And you can also ask the brand, what does this mean? You know, I'm only comfortable doing this and that. Like you can really stand up for yourself and find the information to protect yourself.
Love it. Your thoughts on marketplaces as a student athlete?
I think they're both good and bad. You know, marketplaces are still a part of these collectives. That's always something to be careful of because, again, it's monetizing a student athlete. But I think there are a lot of good deals out there that go through marketplaces because if you think about it, it's a collection of student athletes. A brand can go to one place and get a bunch of them to actually discover them, to pay them, to have someone else help them. So there are good too. Student athletes can find a lot of deals there. Again, they just have to be aware of what their value is and of what these contracts look like.
Last one, I swear. So you talked about making content. Do you believe athletes should have like a tentpole strategy where it's like, all right, Motivation Monday type thing? Or is it like the Grow With Me videos? Or is it like the Watch What I Eat for 24 hours? What type of content pillar should they have, like their own like a weekly segment? Or is it more figure out what works for you and then go from there?
I think it's all the above. I think as you figure out what works for you, obviously student athletes have a lot less time than other people. Yeah. You realize, you know, what makes sense for you. So let's say you have a day in the life of student athlete, a TikTok or an Instagram vlog that goes up every week, but you actually film it on a Saturday when you guys are off practice in the afternoon. So that's something easy that can be weekly, but also during the week, you can participate in trends. You know, you can be with your teammates and make funny videos. So finding a way to make content that fits with your schedule, I think, is the most important. But then from there, finding out like what you want to create content on, whether it's just about being a student athlete, whether it's about your specific sport, whether it's about like going from a student athlete to professional, or even if it's just like comedy or lifestyle, clothing, whatever you want it to be, you want to make sure that your content kind of stays per se in your niche, and that people know what they're getting when they go to your page, because people follow people for a reason. So you don't want to just put random things up there. You want to make sure that there's a purpose for your content.
All right. I lied. Sorry. Last question, I swear. Inbound versus outbound. If you don't have a manager, what's the best way to reach out to a brand that doesn't throw them off?
Honestly, you can DM them. It works. Just be professional. I think that email is always the best way to go. You can also LinkedIn them. But when you reach out to them, it's not a, hey, will you give me $500 to make a TikTok post? Yeah. It's, hey, like, I appreciate your brand. I use it every day. I want to work with you guys. These are my analytics, which you can just go on TikTok and Instagram and download your insights of all your followers, screenshot it, send it to them, and give them an idea of why they should work with you. Like, if it's a coffee brand, I could have said, you know, I'm a student athlete. I drink coffee, unfortunately, 3 times a day because my practices are at 7 a.m. in the morning and 3 p.m. in the afternoon, 6 days a week. But like, I drink it so much. It's in half my videos. Everyone on campus knows me as an athlete who drinks a lot of coffee. Like, sell yourself. Tell them why you would be the best candidate to create content. And you're much, much more likely to find a brand that will respond to you, number one, but actually work with you.
Rachel, thank you so much for taking the time. This was great advice, not only for student athletes, any influencer that's looking to work and grow their influencer platform. We really appreciate you for taking the time. We're going to have all your information in the show notes. For the audience, I hope you took notes. I definitely did. Follow her if you want to check out Office Hours, if you want to learn more about Jen Agency, and if you just want to have a good follow, whether it's on LinkedIn, on Instagram, on TikTok, make sure you take advantage of her and use her as a resource. Please rate, subscribe, review it if you like to help us continue to get wonderful guests on the show like Rachel. That's it for this week. Hope to catch you next time. Rachel, thank you so much, and we'll definitely be connecting soon.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
No, most definitely.
Thank you for tuning in to this podcast episode. For more information, check out the show notes and go to our website, www.afrugalathlete.com. If you enjoyed, please leave a favorable rating and review and share and subscribe. Thank you so much.